Hello, friends. Welcome to the Restoring Christianity podcast. If this is your first time joining us, I am Alina Van Dyke, your podcast hostess. In a time when the heart of the Lord is often misrepresented, the Restoring Christianity podcast was birthed to extend an invitation for believers in Jesus Christ to wholeheartedly love and obey the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and reconstruct a healthy, deep, and meaningful relationship with Jesus. It is my goal to teach and bring in guest speakers who address real issues with humility and vulnerability and bring balance, clarity, and truth to those of you who want to seek the Lord in spirit and in truth. Friends, today is February 29th. It is leap year, and I think that is the only way that a podcast could be done is if there was one extra day in the year. It just seems like all of 2023 got away from us in a whirlwind. There was so much that happened in us and Pray in the Desert and Monophonies and just Alina Van Dyke Ministries in general, moving from place to place and so many different ways that we served in the prayer movement and in Harp and Bowl and just tons of different things that happened. And because we were so busy, there was no time to sit and record and just talk. There was time to sit and pray, but we missed the podcast. So I dearly miss the podcast. So today there is a lot of catch up to do to kind of let you know what's been going on and the future direction of Pray in the Desert as we move into 2024. And I'm just going to be honest and say that I feel like at some level I've been avoiding doing this podcast for probably about 2 months. I feel like it was probably around the first when I took the second and third of the beginning of the year and I dedicated them to the Lord and just sat and sought His face for what 2024 was going to bring. And one of the things that He highlighted was making sure that the podcast was a priority and inviting some other speakers into this, then we're planning some of that I'll talk about in a little bit. But one of the things was talking about the International House of Prayer. And because I have so many friends that are still there, and because of the pain that is involved in everybody's response to this, there is no way to win when you make a comment on this kind of thing. So I am choosing to obey the Lord and tell you what He wants me to say and to try to leave all of my personal opinions out of it. What I can say is, my time at the International House of Prayer was life-changing. But like any institution and like any leader, I think that it is wrong to give credit to a place or a person instead of the Lord. And so in my heart, the way that I have looked at the International House of Prayer and at pretty much every other ministry and every other people group, every other family group that I have been a part of has been that the transformation that happened within me around that environment or in that atmosphere was because of the Lord, and the Lord gets credit for everything that happened. So I was there from 2019 to 2021, roughly. The Lord opened amazing doors. I did amazing things with them and for them, serving that community. And I loved a lot of it. And a lot of it was very difficult. And it pruned me and sanded me down and humbled me. And it was not the easiest to be there sometimes, as is like life. Like every single job, every single community has its pros and cons. IHOP KC is no different, especially when you have an institution that is that large, you're going to have positive and negative things that happen. So that's just kind of the groundwork and the bottom line for common sense, that I think that it is wrong for us to look at Mike Bickle or an institution like the International House of Prayer and consider it an idol and consider it the Holy Grail and the thing to aspire to. There are so many other prayer rooms in this country and around the world that have been going just as long as the International House of Prayer. They may be smaller, they may not be as well known around the world, but their time before the Lord is just as significant and just as beautiful, and the kingdom of heaven knows their name just as much as He knows the name of the people at IHOP KC or Mike Bickle. Now I'm going to try to dance in and out of this topic a little bit, so forgive me, but I want to get some context into this story for a second and say that in 2023, I literally traveled and slept in other beds more than my own. I just finished my taxes, and looking at how much I drove, it was incredible. We, like, different groups from New Mexico or me alone, traveled up to Colorado and ministered to people there, traveled to Kansas City, picked up people, went to conferences in North Carolina, connected with people in Florida, connected with people in Washington, D.C. I literally traveled from coast to coast this year. I was in Portland for a little bit. I met with prayer rooms all over the country and prayer leaders all over the country before all this happened and after, networking and connecting with people and blessing them. And the Lord has still placed it on my heart to connect with prayer rooms all over the country, connect with praying communities all over the country, whether they want to learn harp and bowl or they just need to be ministered to because they've been interceding and they need to get refilled. I and my team, like, funding we can figure out, want to come see you and want to come bless you and want to come pray over you. And I feel like so many different prayer rooms and praying communities have been shaken and need some refreshment and need some refilling. And that brings me to what's happening in New Mexico. So our community there is doing tons of different things to pray all over the state and, like, pray at the little house of prayer that we've been connecting at for years. But we officially formed a 501c3. We are officially on Givelify for you to donate to us, for us to be able to serve New Mexico's prayer room, as well as travel to bless other prayer rooms. And then the big surprise in 2023 for us was that the Lord also started connecting these prophetic words about Missouri, which is ironic because of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, and New Mexico. And the Lord started revealing these things that he's been talking to a ton of different communities for many, many years, like over 10 years, talking to people about doing a new thing in the desert, bringing the ocean to the desert, bringing springs, like the field of springs, Springfield, Branson, Hollister area, and bringing that to the desert, and then bringing the desert, also the wilderness, to the springs, and this marriage between Springfield and New Mexico, or like Missouri and New Mexico. And it ended actually creating a literal marriage between somebody in Missouri and somebody from New Mexico, and them getting connected. So the Lord has been doing miraculous, amazing, wonderful things, doing truly a wondrous work and moving very, very, very quickly, so long as we've surrendered and said, Lord, your will be done, not ours. I share all that because so many of the promises that he has been speaking to me since I was at the International House of Prayer 4 years ago are today being fulfilled, are right now in this season being fulfilled. And a lot of the people I talked to, one of our ministry partners was praying for something 4 years ago, something big, to be gifted a home, and it is being fulfilled right now. So prayers from 4 years ago, if you have a prayer journal and you know what you prayed 4 years ago, I really encourage you to go look it up. The Lord is saying today is the day of fulfillment. Today, even with leap year, today is the day that we will leap forward into promises being fulfilled. Some have already been done. Some are yet to come. The best is yet to come. And he keeps saying, everything's going to change really quickly. I am with you. I am for you. I'm very aware of intimately what is happening in your life. I know what's going on. I don't want you to worry. I want you to trust me. I want you to lean on me. I want you to lean on each other. I want you to move forward in faith. Leap forward in faith. So that has been really and truly his current word for like this beginning of the year, this winter into spring, as we spring forward even too. Now, the reason I share that is because it's significant to me as somebody who was at the International House of Prayer 4 years ago. I will be honest and vulnerable in this podcast and say that I questioned. I sat with the Lord and I was like, what if all of the things that I thought that you said 4 years ago when I was there sitting in the prayer room 6 hours a night, what if that was a false Holy Spirit? What if that wasn't real? What if those words weren't true? What if they were made up? What if I was influenced by the environment and those things weren't really you? And I had to sit with the Lord and face my fear and face my doubt and work through those things with Him and in community and in deep and meaningful conversations with people. And as I did that and I sought the Lord, He kept reassuring me, like, you know me, you know my voice, and kind of returning to what I said at the beginning of the podcast, I didn't look to the place as an idol. I know that some people showed up into that environment, and literally it was like, there was one gentleman, it was like he like touched the chair, like, oh my God, this is the chair that people sit in. Like, this is Mike Bickle's chair. You know, it was like this weird worship of the space and the environment as if the space is meaningful. And it's not that the space isn't meaningful, but God is the thing that we are worshiping. We're not worshiping the building and the worshipers on stage and the prayer person on the microphone. And like that is not the right heart posture when you walk in there, if that's what's happening. And that goes for every church and every community. If you are worshiping and idolizing your pastor and you expect him to be perfect, then you're not worshiping Jesus. And Jesus is perfection. He is our Lord and Savior, and there is no other. No one else is going to measure up to him, and everyone will sin and fall short of his glory. And so there is no way that we can put somebody on a pedestal without them falling. And I really wonder if that's why everything happened with Mike Bickle. I was at a leadership conference for prayer room leaders in September, and Mike got up on a video screen to share his wisdom as being one of the prayer leaders that's been doing it for over 20 years. And the atmosphere in the room changed afterwards. And I was aware, I have pretty good discernment that it changed, and was like, what happened, Lord? And I realized that while I, especially meeting Mike in person, working for the International House of Prayer, I see him as human. I see him as just a real person with flesh and blood and bone and mistakes and quirks and preferences. And I tend to look at most people like that. I don't tend to look at other people as celebrities. But I realized that that room really looked up to him and admired him as a role model, as somebody that they considered worthy of their admiration. And it's not that they're wrong, but it was that you could feel afterwards, feel like there are logical thinkers and there are feelers. But as somebody that can sense things in the spirit and feel things, that's the choice of words I tend to use. You could feel that they were idolizing him, that they were looking up to him in an unhealthy way. And I remember being surprised by it, because since I don't think that way, I just wasn't aware that other people did. And I think it was shortly after that I was in a meeting with somebody and I was explaining that we as a ministry do harp and bowl. And they replied to me, oh, the Mike Bickle model? And I was so disturbed. I mean, I could have like went and puked. I was like, this is not something that the International House of Prayer created. It is not something that a man created. This is something that is biblical, that goes back to the tabernacle and David and the Old Testament, and looking at switching back and forth between singing the word and worshiping the Lord and praying and singing and gazing at his face and praying and worshiping him and saying, thank you for who you are. And we enter your courts with thanksgiving, and then asking him for things that we need, or our state needs, or our country needs, or our world needs, and then going back and forth and back and forth into worship, and then singing the words that are prayed and back and forth. That is Psalms. That is Old Testament. That is not something that the prayer movement created. That is something that is in the Bible. And the prayer movement realized that there was something lost and brought it back and started doing it. But it's not something that they like should get credit for in the sense of being the creators of. They weren't the initiators. It's not like there was a divine revelation from God to do this as a brand new thing that had never been done on the earth before. They might've done it in a new way, but it was not a new thing. It was just modernizing an old thing possibly. Which leads me to what the Lord is saying is next. And it's something that I talk about, but not very publicly. It's something that is very deep in my womb and tender on my heart. Years ago, when I was sitting at the International House of Prayer, I had this vision or picture, I'll call it, of an army headed what I believed was like for IHOP KC. And I remember seeing flags and these different things. And, you know, now that it's years later, it's not like a really solid picture in my mind. It's like, you know, remembering a memory. But I remember feeling like there was a war coming, feeling like there was a battle to be had. Just that things were going to come against this place. And only the Lord knows the time and season for things. So he reveals things. It says he reveals hidden things to his prophets and shares them with them. But then I don't know when it's going to happen or what it means or what the details are until after, even sometimes until it's like, oh, that's what you meant. And so I knew when I was there that I was starting to see that like trouble was coming. Maybe that's a good way to say it. And I was starting to perceive that there was a war or a battle that was going to take place. And then I, at a different time, and I'd have to look up in journals to see the order of things, but at a different time, I had a different vision, and this one was more apparent to me and it has stuck to me a lot stronger, of me standing in a pile of like rubble and bricks. And it was very dark and I was standing in all these, just in the rubble. And there was a large figure in front of me that I want to say, I'll call it the angel of the Lord, not knowing if it was actually like an angel messenger or if it was supposed to be a form that Jesus took or something, but it felt like a very large angel was standing in the rubble with me. And he said to me, "Will you help me rebuild?" And I knew in that moment that the International House of Prayer was going to come to a place of crumbling. And that even the church in general in the United States of America was going to come to a place of crumbling, and that the Lord was looking for people to rebuild with him. Since then, one of the things that has been a common conversation between the Lord and I is, well, then what are you rebuilding? What's next? And what the Lord keeps telling me is that he wants to prepare his bride. And I believe that in the prayer movement, we had a lot of sincerity in prayer, but we didn't have a lot of authority in prayer. Here's my fun little theory for you. I think that when the Lord opened up intercession back in like the 80s, you had a movement where people were like yelling and screaming at demons. They were casting things out and doing this like weird, unhealthy version of spiritual warfare. And then when that faded and people started realizing like, okay, we can't just pick fights with the enemy and do all this weird charismatic stuff. It gets real weird real fast. And they started actually focusing on the Lord instead of focusing on the enemy, because the enemy is so good at getting our eyes to focus on him and get distracted. And I think that's what happened to a lot of people back then and still does. If you get into weird deliverance, spiritual warfare, instead of healthy deliverance, spiritual warfare and sozo and healing of the heart and stuff, if you get into the weird stuff, then it draws your attention to the enemy and it makes people look at what is bad and focus on what's bad and can create fear and create all these kind of weird divergent things. The way that we do spiritual warfare and we do deliverance is by seeing and listening in the spirit to what the Lord is saying, what we currently have permission to remove from somebody, what, like, we look at it more as like a courtroom and a legal agreement of like, you made it a vow, or you opened door, or you did something in order to let the enemy have this permission or territory in your life. And we're going to now say, hey, you're trespassing. You're not allowed to be here. This person belongs to Jesus. We do it in a very different, almost like formal legal kind of way of like the accuser of the brethren losing a legal battle rather than like being in a weird wrestling match, like a bar brawl in the ways that people used to do it many years ago. Things have changed and things have evolved, and there are much more efficient and healthy ways to do things that don't cause shame and fear and weirdness. There's my little soapbox. Okay, moving forward. So many years ago, because prayer was sincere, but we didn't have experience, I think that people were doing the best they could with what they had and the knowledge that the Lord was revealing and the way that he was teaching it through people and the way that he works in our mess. Like, it was messy. And I remember Mike Bickle talking about that and him getting up on stage once and talking about how he hated the beginning of the prayer movement because people would get up on the microphone and they would like yell at demons. And he was like, I can't do this. And I'm so glad for the prayer movement that transitioned those things into seeking the face of God and focusing on the Psalms like David and saying, we just want to seek your face, Lord. We want to worship you. We want to know your heart. We want to pray your will and pray your heart. But now, if we are moving into preparing the bride, then we are moving into a new level of purity as well as a new level of authority. And, you know, people are going to stand on tons of different sides of this conversation and say we had lots of purity and righteousness in the prayer movement. I'll agree with that to an extent. I'll also say there was a lot of the spirit of religion and that I touched that personally a lot, that there is a spirit that is standing over, I'm going to call it this. I'm going to say that the religious spirit is the glass ceiling of the prayer movement. It is the thing preventing breakthrough because people feel like things have to be done a certain way and sets need to end on time and transitions have to happen. And there's a piece of it that like, that's just the way the thing happens. Like just like church on Sunday, there has to be some kind of structure that you work within in order for the machine to keep running. And that is total, complete, normal common sense, all as well. But there's a spirit attached to it that has become a glass ceiling that needs to end in order for us to move forward into the next stage. And the religious spirit is one of the things that, then I know I have a personal mandate to stand against. And because of that, it's one of the things that I see fast and discern quickly. I mean, like when I walk into a new environment and it doesn't like me very much. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that there is change to be had and that we had the religious spirit, we had idols of people and places, and the Lord shook everything on purpose in order to get us to a new place. And I believe that that future destination, if we like, let's say fell from where we were and landed on a different part of the mountain or a different part of the trail, the new destination, the new thing that we are orienting ourselves towards is a movement that marries a bridal paradigm, intimacy with Jesus, the Mary pouring out oil at his feet with authority, like Esther, of a humble fasting and prayer to walk into the throne room boldly and confidently and ask for something, knowing that because we are the bride, because we are in intimacy and holding oil in our lamp from the first half of everything I just said, that we're going to walk in and that the king's favor is towards us and he's going to dip his scepter at us and that whatever we ask for up to half the kingdom is going to happen. And he's going to say yes because he loves us and because we're praying his will and we're praying goodness and mercy and righteousness into the earth. So going forward, I'm going to bring all this together and say, hopefully you are hearing somebody that has not given up on the prayer movement. I'm hoping that you're hearing me talk and you're saying there is still like light around the corner. The Lord is shifting and upgrading and changing things, and he shook things that could be shaken so that it would bring more purity and more authority. And he's very intimately involved in every single thing that's happening. He's very aware of where everyone's hearts are. He is seeking people on the earth and looking, searching the earth for a remnant that is going to follow him in this new direction and say yes to being the laid down, surrendered lover of his heart and his will and his way, as well as somebody that's going to walk in authority and confidently and boldly say yes to obeying him and yes to walking into his throne room in order to bring healing to the nations and healing to hearts and deliverance to people and pray his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hopefully you are also hearing that we believe as Pray in the Desert, Alina Van Dyke Ministries, the community that I am connected to, that Restoring Christianity podcast is connected to, and the voices that you are going to hear on here, we believe that we are some of the chosen forerunners for this next stage of the prayer movement, for the vision that the Lord has moving forward to connect a remnant of praying people that are seeking his heart and loving him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And if that is your desire, then I hope and pray that you will be more connected to us, that our podcast will bless you, influence you, encourage you, that we can pray together, that we can meet on Zoom chats together, that we can do all sorts of things as a community, and that if the Lord leads you, that you will give to bless us to keep going in this vision. We now have two different communities or two different locations in this country now, in Missouri and in New Mexico, for Pray in the Desert and Alina Van Dyke Ministries, and travel back and forth to bless both communities and grow things in Missouri as well as grow things in New Mexico. And while there are two hubs to kind of travel from, we are feeling led still to travel and bless people wherever they are. So whether it is giving to us through Givelify, you can search for Pray in the Desert that way and give through there and pick even a team. If you want to designate that it just goes for general funds and we'll just split it, or we'll take care of administrative things, but you can also give directly to me or give directly to the Missouri team to fund like rent and groceries and all sorts of things that we need to just bless the people that are with us. A lot of it is simple living expenses. And so even if you're like a local community member and you're like, we want to, I don't know, give extra eggs from our garden, like we will take it. Whatever the Lord leads you to give, we are just trusting him by faith, because he really has been saying that planning his wedding is a full-time job, and that he wants our full-time attention and flexibility to be able to get up and go when he tells us to go and travel and bless people. And so if you have a community that you want people to come bless you, if you need to get away for a retreat, if you just want to listen to the podcast, whatever it is, then I just want you to know that we are a group of people serving the body of Christ as a parachurch ministry in whatever way the Lord leads. My motto for forever, hopefully, but for 2024, I really want to lean into John 3:8 of wherever the Spirit takes us, that's where we are going. Because the verse that the Lord gave me at the beginning of the year for 2024 was that he is the only Savior. And I am very aware that 2024 for I would say every single person on this earth is going to bring us to a point in which we have to rely on ourselves and our own strength, or we're going to have to stand in courage and faith and say, Lord, you are the only one that can get us out of this situation. You are the only one that knows the right solution or the right way forward. You have to act on my behalf. And so today, on February 29th, 2024, again, 4 years ago, is when prayers were happening that are being released today. And so I'm asking for things to be released this year that have been happening for 4 years, like that the culmination of it, that next door of being able to leap forward is today. And so, Lord, I ask, even as I pray now and I pray for every listener and everybody that's hearing this, God, I am asking you, I am begging you, I'm pleading with you that you would move on our behalf, that all of the things that have stood in the way of your promises coming to pass, Lord, I ask that you would shake every door that is not of you, that you would tear them down, that you would remove people from stations where they are not obeying you, that you would shift things in this country, in our states, in our hearts, in every individual, that you would bring us to a place where we are just head over heels in love with you, loving you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, giving everything that we have to you, obeying you with a full and happy heart, not out of sacrifice, but out of loving devotion for our bridegroom king. Lord, I'm asking that all of the things that the enemy has done to hinder and delay and stop and withhold your promises, that you would shake it and that you would move it and that you would send angel armies on our behalf to go and move things. Lord, I thank you that you have been fighting and preparing for things on our behalf. Exodus 14:14 says that you will fight for us and we need only to be silent and be still. That's what you said to Israel. So Lord, as we are sleeping tonight, as we are resting, as we are Sabbathing, as we are seeking your face in prayer, as we are going about our jobs and our days to take care of family and love other people, Lord, every single thing that we do, may it be counted into loving you and serving you. Lord, lead us. Lead us to pray your heart, to know your heart. Reveal to us how we can be a part of what your next step is, what your vision is for this country, for the church. Lord, I'm asking that you shake things because in that vision that you gave me of standing in the rubble, if there is anything yet still to fall, then I know that that has to happen so that we can rebuild. And so, Lord, whatever demolition needs to happen so that we can rebuild on a firm foundation, that it can be fortified, that it can be built on the name of Jesus Christ, that it can be built on you being the only one who saves, not on our own strength, not in our own power, but by your Spirit. Lord, lead us. I ask all of this in your name. Amen. My husband said to me today that just because a leader is not in charge of, he's talking about Mike, not in charge of IHOP KC anymore, doesn't mean the prayer movement ends or doesn't mean that the show stops going. And it is 100% true that this train, this boat, this ride, the Lord is the driver. And things may shift. Riders on the train may choose to get off because somebody is not part of it anymore. But the train didn't stop. It is still going. And the Lord has great and wondrous works around the corner for everyone that stays on the train and says yes to him wholeheartedly. And I have so much faith that that is true. And so I'm asking the Lord to fortify us and to give us strength and to give us courage, because while things are shaking, our faith is just going to go stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger as we look and we say, wow, Lord, look at what you did. Look at the ways that you answered your promises. Look at the ways that you surprised us with blessing and the ways that you answered our prayers in ways we could have never even hoped or dreamed or imagined, because it was so much better than we could have ever fathomed. And you are so good and you are so faithful. And so I'm asking that everyone who is really seeking him would find 2024 to be a year of just abundant blessing, more than we could have ever hoped, dreamed, or imagined. So I hope that you'll join me in that prayer. If you enjoyed today's episode, I encourage you to visit alinavandyke.com and prayinthedesert.com and to read my book, Return to Love, Restoring the Heart of Christianity. You can find it on Amazon and Audible, as well as my website. Our ministry is made up of a small group of wholehearted believers who are living by faith. Every dollar makes a difference to keep groceries on the table. So if you're looking for a way to make a difference in our world, then please download the Givelify app and search for Pray in the Desert. $25 or more a month may not be much to you, but would make all the difference for us as we dedicate ourselves to working for the Lord full time, wherever he sends us. If you are in the Albuquerque, New Mexico or Branson, Missouri area, please reach out and connect with us live. Until next time, friends, from the bottom of my soul, thank you so much for listening.